Who slept like 3 hours last night? Really?
Less than.
Okay, less than. Yeah, that'd be great. Less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
All right. Who here has had more Red Bull this weekend than your body can really handle? Some of you guys are going to be. Some of y'all are going to crash today. I'm just going to tell you right now. It's going to be painful. Hey, it will be glorious. I like that word, glorious. Hey, some of you guys here haven't been a part of D-Town. You're just here at Watermark Community Church for your first time ever. So I want to say welcome and just say glad you guys are here. This is a good weekend for you to be here and to just hang out. Glad you guys are checking out Watermark. Hey, has this been a good weekend for you guys? Man, I hope so. Are some of you guys feeling like you're beginning to get in rhythm with the Lord? All right. Not as many as I'd hoped, but we'll work on it. Hey, I want to start out this morning by kind of sharing about my past with my wife, my dating relationship with my wife. About 5.5 years ago, I took my wife, Catherine, on our very first date, okay? And it wasn't anything creative. We just went to see a movie, all right? But then on our second date, I took her ice skating. But don't worry, we didn't do the interlock, okay? There was none of this going on, none of this or this. It was just ice skating, us taking laps, so we did the whole ice skating thing. Date three, I took her to the State Fair of Texas because that was going on, and all was well with that. Date four, it was around Halloween, so we went to a haunted house. And then date five, I took her to a Dallas Mavericks game, okay? So those were the first five dates of our dating career, all right? And here's the deal. After the fifth date, man, I was liking this girl, all right? Like, I knew that Catherine was someone that, man, I felt things. Like, my heart, like, beat in weird ways when I was around her, okay? I definitely was smelling what she was stepping in, all right? Whatever that was. Like, I was all about her. And I wanted to tell her how I felt about her. I wasn't exactly sure how to do that, but I knew that I wanted to communicate to Catherine that I really liked her. I wanted to communicate to her what I wanted our relationship to continue to look like. So here's what I did. For our sixth date, I took Catherine to a U2 concert, all right? Some of you guys have never heard of U2 before, and you need to go on iTunes and just check it out. Some of you guys are like, this dude is old, all right? Heard of Justin Bieber? Beliebers is where it's at. Okay, that's not what I'm about. U2 is just one of those bands that I kind of like. And so they were in Dallas. They were playing at the American Airlines Center. And so this was a big deal for me to invite Catherine to go to U2 with me. Okay, and so we're sitting in the U2 concert and all is good. I mean, I'm just giddy because I've got the girl I like and U2 playing. So for me, I mean, it is just sweet nectar, all right? Life is good. But all throughout the concert, I'm trying to think, when am I going to communicate to Catherine how I feel about her? I mean, I was looking for just the right time. Am I going to do it before the concert? Well, that didn't happen. What about after the concert? Well, I don't know about that. And so, I started kind of just like, when am I going to talk to her? And then in the middle of the concert, Catherine said, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. And I was like, I'll go with you. Not to the bathroom with her, but I go to the men's, she'd go to the women's. You know what I'm talking about. So anyway, we get up from our seats. She goes to her bathroom. I go to my bathroom. And I get done before she does because that's how dudes roll. All right? Ladies, like, y'all just do stuff in there that's like, what are you even doing in there? Come on, there's a concert going on. But anyway, I get done, and I'm just hanging out in the American Airlines Center, and I was just like, all right, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to talk to Catherine right now. So I just walk into the women's bathroom. No, I didn't do that. But but I was just like, man, I'm talking to her right now. And so she came out of the bathroom. And at the time, U2 was playing a song. Get this. The name of the song is Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Okay. Very romantic. Romantic song. So U2 is playing Sunday, Bloody Sunday. So that's what's going on. Like, I mean, it is just loud, and that's playing. And Catherine and I are about to walk back into the American Airlines arena to our seats, and I stop her in the breezeway that you walk up to find your seats, and I stop her as U2, Sunday, Bloody. So that's going on, and it's just loud. And I stop Catherine, and I just say, I've really enjoyed spending time with you. And I really like you, and I'd like to continue to date you. And she goes, me too. All right. And so we walked back to our seats. And we got back to our seats, and we didn't say a word because it was an awkward moment where we just stood next to each other like, okay, the feelings are out there. Don't really know what to say now. And then she was like, what if I had said no? All right. Well, you didn't. But here's why that moment was so important for us, because in that moment, Catherine and I had what is called a DTR. Who's heard that terminology before? Okay, here's what a DTR is. DTR means defining the relationship. And that's what I did with Catherine. I stopped her in the American Airlines Center, and I had a moment where I defined our relationship. I told Catherine, hey, I like you, and this is what I want our relationship to look like. And what we're going to see today is we kind of finish D-Town. D-Town comes to an end. And as we look at John chapter 15 for just one last time, what we're going to see is that God is going to have a DTR with you and with me. Okay, Jesus wants to sit us down and have a DTR where he is going to define the relationship with you and with me. Okay, so if you have your Bibles, open up to John 15. If you don't, again, it will be on the screen like it has been all weekend. But I want you to know that these verses, I would say they are the most important verses in John chapter 15. And I think that these are two of the most important verses in your entire Bible. Because what these two verses are going to show us, as Jesus has a DTR with us, he's going to tell us, here is what it looks like to live in sweet rhythm with me. The whole weekend has been called rhythm. We spent the first night talking about how Jesus is the true vine. He's where true rhythm is found. Last night we talked about what it looks like when we are off rhythm from Jesus. And this morning we're going to talk about, before you leave, what does it look like to walk in sweet rhythm with Jesus? And what you're going to see is that one word in the English language is the key to experiencing sweet rhythm with Jesus, and that one word is abide. All right? So look at verse 4. This begins Jesus' DTR with us. Here's what he says. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. And so what Jesus just did is he started talking about how the vine works. Here's how the vine works, Jesus says. He says, there's a vine and then there's branches. There's only one vine, but there's many branches. But the branch must be connected to the vine if it wants to live, if it wants to bear fruit, if it wants to get nutrients and water and resources, the branches must be connected to the vine. The branches must abide in the vine. So Jesus starts out in verse 4 talking about how the vine works, and then in verse 5 he's going to transition and talk about how life works using the vine. Look at what he says. This is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. He says, hey, friends, hey, disciples, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So Jesus says, okay, in the same way that the branches need to be connected to the vine to really live, he's going to transition and talk about how our lives should work. And he's saying, guys, I am the vine and you guys are the branches. And you need to abide in me if you want to live, if you want to bear fruit, if you want to experience sweet rhythm. Then sweet rhythm is found in the one word, abide. So the question that we just need to wrestle with and answer this morning is, what does it practically mean to abide in Christ?
I think to abide in Christ, it means two things, and I want you guys to get this. I know you guys are tired. D-Town is over in just a few short minutes, so let's make the most of our time together. Hang with me, engage with me here. To abide in Christ means two very important things. Number one, to abide in Christ, it means to be completely connected to Jesus. And it makes sense, like, we can't be branches that are just kind of barely hanging on to the vine. We can't be branches that are just kind of barely connected. We need to be branches that are, we're completely connected to Jesus. Here's what I want you guys to think about. Imagine this. After the talk today, you come up to me and you're like, "Hey, TA, thanks for sharing about your DTR with Catherine. That was kind of funny and whatnot." How did things kind of work out for you guys? Now imagine this. What if when you asked me, "Hey, how did things turn out?" What if I told you, "Well, you know what? Close to 4.5 years ago, Catherine and I actually, we got married. We tied the knot and we moved to Austin. But what you need to know is we don't live together. All right. Here's the deal. I work on one side of town. Catherine works on a different side of town. So we each just have our own apartments. We live apart from each other. And honestly, we lead incredibly busy lives. So we don't really see each other very much. I shoot her a text every once in a while. Sometimes I flexed and send her a flirt text. But for the most part, we don't talk very much. But a couple times a month, what we will do is that we'll meet up at a Starbucks for an hour. And I'll just say, "Hey, Catherine, tell me what's going on in your life. Okay, that's great. Thanks for sharing that with me. Here's what's going on in my life." And then we go our separate ways to our separate apartments, and we just kind of do our own thing. Would that be a little crazy? Like, how many of you guys in here would look at that and be like, "Man, it just seems like you guys are really going for it. Like, your marriage, I can't wait to be married. Like, I want that." You girls are like, "Oh, it's so dreamy. Like, I just want my man now to live in separate apartments and to see each other twice a month. Oh, God, bring him now." I mean, how many of you guys are looking at that situation just saying, "That, man, that relationship, I could tell those two were in sweet rhythm. I mean, I saw them this way. They are in sweet rhythm." Now, I think even you middle school and high school students who have never been married would look at that and say, "I mean, I've never been married, but it kind of seems like you guys are missing out." The interesting thing is, doesn't that look a lot like our relationship with Jesus sometimes? Where we have a relationship with Jesus, we enter into a relationship with Him. In a way, we get married to Jesus when we invite Him into our lives. But then it's like we go and we do our own separate things. And our lives get so busy, we get consumed with all the sports and with all the homework and all the other things and our video games and all that stuff. We get so consumed with all of it that we end up just checking in with God a couple times a month. We come to Wake on a Sunday morning, or we come to Shoreline on a Sunday night just to kind of connect with God for an hour. Or maybe we go to our small group, or maybe sometimes right before a test, it's like, "Man, I stayed up all night texting, God, please, I need you now, please come and help me out." But for the most part, we just do our own separate things. Can't we all agree that in the same way that Catherine and I might be missing out on marriage, let me just tell you, Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it to the full." But if you're not connecting with Him, you're the one that's missing out. Think about this. I really want you to think about this. What if the God of the universe dialed you up on your cell phone? Imagine this. What if the God of the universe hit you up on your cell phone and you answer it and it is like, "This is God." And He's like, "Man, I want to meet you at Starbucks tomorrow morning." The God of the universe hits you up on your cell phone and says, "I want to spend tomorrow morning with you. I want to meet with you tomorrow morning." Now, how many of you guys are going to be like, "Hey, dude, thanks for calling. Dude, I might be there. All right, like Saturdays is when I sleep in. Actually, tomorrow's President's Day. It's been D-Town. I might be there. I might not. I might be playing video games, honestly. Like, I have a lot of schoolwork to get to, so, man, I hope I can be there. I'm hanging out with some friends, but I'll try and swing by. I don't know that we would respond like that. Like, if the God of the universe actually called us up and said, I want to meet with you tomorrow morning, I don't think we would be able to sleep tonight. Like, I think it would be like the night before Christmas for us, where we're laying awake just like, I'm going to see God. What am I going to wear? Oh my gosh, what am I going to say? Well, I get to meet with the God of the universe in the morning. I don't think we would be able to sleep all night. But the interesting thing is that the God of the universe just told us he doesn't want to just meet with us tomorrow morning. He wants to meet with us every moment of every day. The God of the universe does want to meet with you tomorrow morning. He just said, the way I want to live life with you is I want to be completely connected to you. I want you to abide in me. I want to meet with you not just tomorrow morning for one time. I want to meet with you on an ongoing basis. Yet some of us will say, thanks, God, but do you understand how busy junior year of high school is? Five APs. God, you understand the kind of schedule that I'm trying to maintain with all my sports and all this stuff? Doesn't that just seem kind of crazy right now? The God of the universe wants us to be completely connected to him. So think about this. In the same way that if my wife, Catherine, and I, if we want to live in sweet rhythm together, then we have to talk and we have to spend quality time together. So what I want to encourage you guys to do is you leave D-Town this weekend. I want to encourage you to abide in Christ, to be completely connected to him by doing two things. By talking to him during the day, which is called prayer, and by spending quality time with him by reading his word, which is the Bible. Now, some of you guys might say, man, I'm no good at prayer. Like, I don't know how to pray. Like, I've tried it before. It didn't work. Like, I don't really know how to do it. Let me just give you one tip. Try this out. Just start talking to God about the things that are already consuming your mind. Like all day long, you're already thinking about different things. You already have different things that are constantly running through your mind. Just start talking to God about the things that are already on your mind and heart. Like in the morning, if you wake up and you don't know what to wear, talk to God about it. God, I don't know what to wear. Help me out. If you're walking through the hallway at school and you're stressed out because you're about to go to and do a test, talk to God about it. Just right there in the hallway as you're walking, just be like, hey, God, you already know my mind and my heart. You know that I'm stressed out. Help me out. If you're sitting there and you're just kind of going through a tough time, maybe you're angry at someone. You're sitting there at lunch and you see someone across the lunchroom who has bullied you or picked on you or made your life miserable, stop and talk to God about it right there. If you're struggling at home, like if you and your mom and your dad fought on the way to school this morning and it's just owning you all day, you can't even think straight. Stop and talk to God about it right there. Maybe you're sitting in class and you can't concentrate for the life of you because you're daydreaming about the weekend because you have just an incredible weekend coming up. Stop and talk to God about it. Thank him for how good he is that he's given us something called weekends. Man, just start with that. Don't feel like you have to go into your room and cross your arms like this and bow your head like this and get on your knees. What if you just started by just talking to God about what's already on your heart? Start talking to him. If you want to be completely connected to him, if you want to experience sweet rhythm with him, you got to start talking to him. But not only that, spend quality time with him. Read the word. Like, do you guys realize the reason that the Bible is called the word of God is that these are God's words to you? A lot of people say, well, I wish God would just talk to me. He's talked to you in about 1,000 pages. So spend time reading this Bible. If you're one of those people who you try and read the Bible and you sit down and you're like, I don't know where to start. Isaiah. Then Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, was over the... Oh, great. All right, let's try something else. Malachi. All the land will be changed into a plain from Geba to... Okay. All right, well, I did it for 10 minutes. Okay, I tried. All right. Man, what if you just try this after D-Town? What if you just pick one of the first four books of the New Testament? It's called the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, and just commit to reading one chapter a day. But you don't read that chapter to finish that chapter. You read that chapter, and then you ask yourself the question, how does what I just read, how does it apply to my life? And because of what I just read, why should I love Jesus more based on what I just read? What if you start with that? But if we want to abide in Christ, if we want to experience sweet rhythm with Him where our lives are synced up with His life, then we got to get completely connected to Him by talking to Him and spending quality time with Him. Here's the second thing that I think to abide in Christ means. To abide in Christ means that we are desperately dependent upon Jesus. In the same way that a branch is desperately dependent upon the vine for its nutrients and its water, its resources, we too, if we want to truly experience sweet rhythm, we have to be desperately dependent upon Jesus. I want to show you guys a video. This video is from the first D-Town ever. I worked for Watermark when Watermark had the first D-Town ever. And so David Peniel and I, our skit characters were Stan and Dan, the Super Danger Mans, okay? And what happened was that we had a guy who dared us to jump out of an airplane without parachutes. And so David and I actually went skydiving for the first D-Town ever. Take a look at it.
Jumping out of this airplane.
Right on.
Ready to go?
You better believe it. Let's rock and roll.
All right, Dan.
Yeah?
You ready to go?
Easy. Let's do it.
All right.
All right, Dan, follow me. See you there. All right. Oh, wait, you're Stan. You're Dan.
On the way down, I saw you, and you saved me from myself. And I won't forget the way you loved me. And on the way down, I almost fell right through, but I held on to you.
Wondered if it is possible to flex your nose, Peniel just showed that it is absolutely possible. That's one of my favorite things ever. But here's the deal. When we went skydiving, I was attached to the front of a guy named Ernie. Ernie had this sweet mullet. He was like, I'd take a bullet before I cut my mullet. You know what I'm saying? Like, just got this sweet, sweet mullet. And so I'm attached to the front of Ernie. And here's the deal. When you go skydiving, you are completely out of control of your life. Like, your life is no longer in your control. My life was in the control of Ernie. All right? Like, I was strapped to Ernie, and my life was in his hands. And if we want to be in sweet rhythm with Jesus, we have to be desperately dependent upon him, where we get to a point where we just say, I'm not going to try and control my own life anymore. I'm going to put my life in Jesus' hands to control my life. Listen to this. If you're in here, and man, you're struggling. You're struggling because you don't feel like you have any real friends. You feel like no one in this world really, really knows you. And so part of you is starting to compromise your standards and your morals, trying to fit in different places. What would it look like for you to just get to a point where you call out to God and just say, God, I am desperately dependent upon you to bring godly friends into my life. Or maybe you're in here and you're a senior and you can't even enjoy your senior year because you are so afraid, where in the world am I going to be going next year? Because the college that you want to get into, they don't even notify you till at least April. What would it look like for you to just get to a place in your life where you just say, God, I am desperately dependent upon you to put me at the college that you want me to be at, where I can grow and know you, and then I can make you known to the people around me. Maybe you're someone who desperately wants to have a boyfriend or girlfriend. And part of you is so tempted to settle and just say, man, if this guy is willing to take me right now, I know he might not be the best guy for me, but he's all right. So I might just settle. What would it look like for you to just say, God, I am desperately dependent upon you to bring a godly man or a godly girl into my life in your timing? That might not be till college or beyond, but God, I trust you. Would you give me the patience in the meantime to wait for your best for me? Maybe you're a girl in here and you are so addicted to the image that is reflected at you when you look in the mirror, or to the number that a scale reads. What would it look like for you to stop determining your worth by what you see in the mirror or in the scale? What would it look like for you to just come to a place where you say, God, I am desperately dependent upon you for you to define how much I'm worth. Your Bible has already declared me to be a daughter of the living God. And so, God, your word tells me that I am beautifully and wonderfully made. I am desperately dependent upon you to define my worth. Maybe you're in here and you're going through a really tough time in life. Maybe your parents are in the middle of a divorce. Maybe you're getting bullied at school. Maybe you have a loved one who is sick with cancer or something like that. What would it look like for you to come to a place in your life where you just say, God, I'm desperately dependent upon you to give me the strength to just make it through today? But if we want to live in sweet rhythm with Jesus Christ, we don't just need to be completely connected to him. We must be desperately dependent upon him. Look at how Jesus finishes verse 5. Look at what he says. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. He says, if you don't abide in me, apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, what I don't think Jesus is saying, hey, you know what, if you don't abide in me, you can't make good grades, you'll never find a girlfriend or boyfriend, you'll never be successful, you'll never get into college, you won't make the sports team or be a good athlete if you don't abide in me. I think you can probably do all those things apart from abiding in Jesus, but here's what I think Jesus is saying. I think he's saying, you know what, if you don't abide in me, you will live a useless life. If you don't abide in me, you will not accomplish the purpose of you even being alive. In Colossians 1:16, Paul tells us, he tells us the purpose for the reason that we even breathe another breath. He says, you have been created by God and you have been created for God. So the only reason that you will walk out of this place and continue to breathe is because God has created you for himself. He's created you to walk in sweet rhythm with him. And then he has created you to go out into this dark world and to be a light. A guy named Francis Chan put it this way. He says, listen to this. The point of your life is to point others to Christ. Christ. And if you don't abide in Christ, I think what Jesus is saying, you will accomplish nothing of eternal significance. You will live, you'll live a useless life. Look at what he says in verse 6. It kind of sounds pretty frightening, but I think Jesus is just trying to make a simple point. He says, if anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and they cast them into the fire and they're burned. And I think a lot of us get hung up with, what's he talking about when he's talking about getting burned? Is he talking about going to hell, or what's he talking about? Jesus is just using an illustration of vine and branches. I think what he's saying is, hey, you know what? If you don't abide in me, if you're a branch that's disconnected from the vine, you're not bearing any fruit. All you are, you're just a stick. And I think the illustration he's making is, what are sticks good for? A fire. That's the only use they have. Other than that, man, they're just useless. And I think Jesus is saying, if you don't abide in me, you know what? You might accomplish a lot of things in this world, but you won't accomplish the most important thing in this world, which is to walk in sweet rhythm with God, to know him, and then to make him known. The point of your life is to point others to Christ. Will you guys pray with me right now? And I want to close out D-Town this weekend. I want you guys to think about that skydiving video. Because I think that life is a lot like skydiving. Some of you guys in here, you heard the first night that Jesus, in fact, is the true vine. He's the only source of eternal life and all life, but you still don't have a relationship with him. To have a relationship with Jesus, it's kind of like jumping out of the airplane. It takes faith. It takes trusting Jesus. Some of you guys are still sitting in the plane. And you've seen other friends jump out of the plane and begin a relationship with Jesus, but you're still not sure. Let me just ask you, what is holding you back from getting out of the plane? Maybe before you can experience sweet rhythm with Jesus, you have to identify Jesus as true rhythm. What if right now you just talk to God and say, I want to get out of the plane. I want to begin a relationship with you. Some of you guys in here have been really struggling in life, and you are a believer. You've jumped out of the plane, but ever since you jumped out, you've been trying to disconnect yourself from Jesus and live like you're not a Christian. Maybe you've been off rhythm with Jesus. What would it look like for you today to just say, Jesus, I'm ready to get synced back up with you? And maybe you're in here and you've gotten out of the plane, but you're flying with Jesus. You're abiding in him. You're experiencing the sweet rhythm. I just want to encourage you, keep going. Keep talking to God. Spend quality time with him. Know him. And then let God work through you to make him known. John 15, Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. My prayer for you is that you'd be a bunch of middle school and high school students who abide in Christ and experience sweet rhythm with Jesus. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you so much for this weekend. Thank you for these students. Thank you for John 15, Lord. I pray that these would be students who experience the sweet rhythm of walking in a relationship with you for a lifetime, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Guys, let's thank TA for the whole weekend. Thank him.